clearest handwritten holy tongue in Aramaic script, a most profound tome requiring the most learned scholar many long hours to peruse. But the usher began flipping through the pages as if he were proofreading the most mundane of newspapers. Suddenly, his face began to glow as though he was warming on a fire. Watching this usher delve into the Rebbe's secret writings, the Hasid sat in awe and amazement. After many minutes, Carl the usher finished the entire book and looked up.
Holy, 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 pure and holy inspiration. These are certainly divinely inspired teachings. Oh, I regret that I have to give it back. Tell Zalmanu it's ready, but that he doesn't leave very much for Mashiach to reveal. Go in peace, and I'll see you again, my friend. Thank you.
So the Chosid made his way back to Liozna with the manuscript that Carl, the theater usher, had so excitedly approved. When the Alter Rebbe got the good news that his greatest work, the Holy Tanya, had received Carl's approval, he sent it immediately to press. Today, nearly 200 years later, the Tanya is still the most important and well-known of all Hasidic works. Carl, the theater usher, was, of course, a tzaddik, one of the 36 hidden righteous men in whose merit the world stands. As great as the Alter Rebbe's work was and is, it was not until one of the Lamed Vav tzaddikim had approved his blessed Tanya that the Alter Rebbe was willing to publish. And as Carl the hidden tzaddik said to himself, only the Mashiach will reveal more. One of the Hasidim of Reb Mordechai of Lechovich, whose name was Reb Meirka of Mir, was once traveling on the way when he turned into an inn to pray. While he was there, a large group of poor people entered who would travel together from place to place along with their wagons and bags, women and children. Reb Meirka spotted amongst them a certain poor old man who stood out for his distinguished scholarly appearance, and so he kept a close eye on him. And the innkeeper gave the poor people bread and some hot soup to eat. They pounced on it to quickly satisfy their hunger. But the poor man quietly took one piece of bread, went over to the wash basin to wash his hands before eating bread. He took the cup and examined it carefully to make sure it was legally fitting for use, then washed his hands. After this, he took a piece of bread and was about to make the appropriate blessing when he hesitated, put the bread down, and instead took a piece of cake, said the blessing over that, and sat down to eat. But America didn't take his gaze off that poor man for a moment and carefully examined his every move. After this, the poor people packed up and left, and the old man walked along with them next to the carts. But America then prayed, sat down to eat, but all the while couldn't stop thinking about that old man's strange behavior. Why had he not wanted to bless on the bread? Finally, he asked the lady of the house, "When did you bake the bread you gave to those poor people?" "Why, a few days ago." "And do you remember if you took challah from the dough before baking it?" he again asked. Suddenly, the woman was shocked and screamed, "Oy vey Izmir, I forgot to take challah!" Reb Meirka then realized that that man possessed the Holy Spirit and was one of the hidden tzaddikim. He immediately harnessed his carriage and chased after that band of poor people. When he caught up, he didn't see the old man there. So he asked them, "Where is the old man who was walking with you?" One of them answered him, "What do you want with that meshuggah, that lunatic? We got stuck with him a few weeks ago, and wherever we go, he just follows us. Wherever we sleep, he sleeps. But he has very strange behavior. Every so often he disappears in the bushes, stays there for a long while, and then returns. And once, on a freezing cold day, we were camped next to a river, frozen over, when he broke a hole in the ice and jumped in." So Reb Meirka asked, "And might you know which direction he went in now?" They showed him, and he went and found the old man meditating under a tree, his face aflame. Reb Meirka said to him, "Rebbe, bless me." The poor man asked for a specific amount of money, so Reb Meirka gave him. The old man blessed him. After this, Reb Meirka returned to his Rebbe, Reb Mordechai of Lechovich, and told him the whole story. The tzaddik told him, "Fortunate are you. You've been blessed by Reb Leib Saras." "Indeed. the divine providence of it all. For a Blade Saras, caretaker to a generation of precious souls, should himself come to be one himself. The most humble, blessed of men, a man who is all good, a hidden tzaddik, in whose credit the very world exists. The young Hungarian Hasidim were enjoying a Fabrengen, and soon started boasting about their respective rebbes. "My rebbe," one curly-haired youth proclaimed, "the holy Zidichover, was so great, he personally knew the hidden tzaddikim." "That's nothing," another retorted. "My father told me that the old rebbe, the Yismach Moshe, knew the 36th tzaddikim." In the midst of this good-natured bickering, the rebbe of their own hometown walked in. His name was Rabbi Shaila Keresdirer. Now, Rabbi Shaila may have been the local rabbi, but he was quite extraordinary. He possessed amazing powers as a rebbe. Every bracha he ever gave came true. And even during his own lifetime, people reported that he would appear to them in their dreams with a message. He had overheard the claims of these young Hasidim, and joining the Fabrengen, said to them,
"Now let me tell you about a certain Lamedvavnik. His name is Red Yankala from Berlin. This story, which happened many years ago, has since become legendary. At the time, all of Hungary was talking about it. It was a very cold and difficult winter that year, and as you know, weather conditions sometimes make even the simplest necessities of life hard to get. Now it goes without saying that in honor of the Holy Shabbos, a Yiddish Tish must have fish. But already that year, the rare commodity of fish was especially scarce. So that Friday, when there were no fish to be found in Keresdir, the Hasidim were beside themselves. It was getting late. So I asked if there was anyone willing to go to the neighboring city to try to obtain some. One of the Hasidim couldn't bear to neglect the mitzvah of eating fish on Shabbos. He was the one to volunteer. He trudged all the way over to the big town, but to his dismay, even there were no fish to be found. It was late. Feeling that he had failed in his mission, the Chassid hurried back home on foot. And as he was briskly walking down the road, he spied a fancy carriage coming towards him with what seemed to him a Jewish nobleman riding inside. As the horses were called to a halt alongside him, nobleman asked the chassid if he could use a ride. Thankfully, the chassid climbed aboard. Once inside, the Jewish nobleman asked him,
"Why do you look so distressed, my friend? Maybe I can help you in some way. Tell me, what is it that you need?"
At first, the chassid tried to avoid the question. He thought to himself, "This man seems very kind, but he couldn't possibly help us. It's not terribly likely that he would be carrying fish in this elegant carriage, and he probably wouldn't understand our Rebbe's urgent need for fish for Shabbos. So why bother him with an explanation?"
But the rich Jew pressed him to speak.
"It's almost Shabbos, and I have no fish to bring back to my Rebbe. He sent me personally, and now I'm coming home empty-handed."
"Is that all? Why didn't you say so before? I just happen to have some extra fish right here. Oh, and please tell Yeshayla that I sent it to him for Shabbos. I'm known as the Red Yankala from Berlin. Explain to him also that I was in a hurry. I must get to Berlin before Shabbos."
They arrived at the entrance to our town. Our chassid jumped out of the wagon, and before he could even say goodbye and thank you, the carriage was far off in the distance. For a moment, he stood speechless. As you all know, Berlin is in the center of Germany, far away from Hungary. By fast train, it takes more than 20 hours to get from our town, Keresdir, to Berlin. But soon, joyously, chassid ran back to Karastir to deliver the fish to us before Shabbos. When he arrived, I was already outside waiting for him. Yasher koyach, Reb Yud, I called to him. Thank you. Thank you so much. So you saw the Red Yankala, one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, and he gave you fish. Where are they? Wonderful. And tell me, did he tell you anything after that? Oh, that he has to be in Berlin before Shabbos. No. That was the best Shabbos we had ever seen in Karastir, with fish provided for us through the mission of Alamed Vavnik. And what of the Holy Tzaddik, the Red Yankala, you ask? I'm sure you weren't too worried. He made it back to Berlin with time enough to enjoy fish at his own Shabbos dish.
It was during the 16th century, in the days when Austria and Turkey were great warring nations. The Turks found themselves literally at the gates of Vienna. But suddenly, fate took a turn, and the Austrians drove their invaders out once again. Now, the general of the Austrian army was a terrible anti-Semite. So much so that during this war, whenever he came across Yidden, he went out of his way to wipe them out. Blessed is the true judge. It was in the course of one battle in this war, when the Austrian army had just conquered a certain hill, that a certain Jew wearing talis and tefillin walked up the hill. The two bitter enemies were befuddled by this Jew, seemingly unaware of the war that raged about him. "What is going on here?" the Austrians asked him. He said, "I'm on my way up the hill." They say, "Well, what do you want to do there? Don't you know you're in the midst of a war?" He said, "What am I doing here? Why, from this hill, you can see Jerusalem." Jerusalem. Why, this war was literally at the gates to Vienna. At first, the Austrians thought this Jew was crazy, but he said it in such a serious way that they didn't know what to do. So they said, "Really, we should shoot you, because you might be a spy, just pretending to be a crazy Jew. But we'll leave it up to our general." So they brought him to the general, who determined after a lengthy interrogation that he was sane indeed. "I'll make a deal with you," the general told him. "If you take me up the hill, and I can see Jerusalem also, I'll let you free. But if I cannot, I will have you shot." "Very well," the Jew responded. "But on condition that the top of the hill is cleared of all soldiers and weapons, we alone must be on top of the hill." Intrigued by this character, the Jew, the general agreed. Together, they climbed to the top of the hill, and they stayed there for a long time. When they finally came down, the general's eyes were swelled from tears. "I saw it," he said. "I saw the holy city, Jerusalem." Many families in Hungary traced their lineage back to this Lamed Vav Tzadik.